Hello, it's Tuesday, March 21st, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio, which can be found at www.wingtv.net. Now, our guest today is Mr. Bill Broombaugh, and after his last appearance, that we asked him, we said, Bill, can you come on Wing TV every month? And just, we'll talk about what's happening in the daily news. And Bill, in our opinion anyways, probably does a better job than anybody out there on a day-to-day basis in disseminating the news of what's going on in the world.
I agree.
And we just couldn't be happier that he's on. So we'd like to welcome Mr. Bill Broombaugh from Proactive News to Wing TV. How you doing, Bill?
Hey, Bill.
I'm alive and well. Got a bit of a congestion, a cold, but I'm kicking.
All right, very good. Well, Bill, we understand that your website's up again, so before we jump into this, tell everyone how they can find your website, how they can get on your email list, and how they can hear your radio show.
Okay, folks, well, my radio show is on from 6 to 8 a.m. Pacific Coast time period, 5 days a week, and that can be found at WWFAR.com. WWFAR.com, and it's on in the morning. It's also rebroadcast in the afternoon. 2 hours of news of views designed not to merely amuse. Now, as far as my website, that is proactivenews.com, proactivenews.com. Having a little trouble posting it, but now that I dumped Earth Stink, Scientology owns that site, folks, which we'll do a broadcast on maybe one of these days. The thing is that I did post most of it. I didn't get all of it up, and I'm going to try again here a little bit later, about the time I'm off the air today. And you get on my email list by writing bill@proactivenews.com, bill@proactivenews.com, and just put down subscribe. I do ask $5 a month, but no one is turned away for lack of funds. If you can't afford it, just let me know, and I'll put you on the list anyways.
All right, very good. Well, Bill, as everybody knows, we just passed the third anniversary of our war in Iraq, moving into the fourth disastrous year. And what I want to ask you about is, tell us about this progression, or digression maybe, from the invasion of Baghdad 3 years ago to May of 2003, where there was the big banner, mission accomplished, to now where we have this full-blown civil war. What the hell is happening in Iraq?
Well, I wanted to mention one other anniversary as well, too. And that was last Friday. It was the second anniversary of Rachel Corrie's death.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And it's like I was very disappointed. Actually, third anniversary, sorry. Rachel Corrie was a peace activist, a friend of mine. And it's like to have her murdered the way she was by an Israeli bulldozer was pretty despicable. I just wanted to mention we did not forget you, Rachel.
No, we haven't.
And that's so much about what this is about. People are making sacrifices. And the sacrifices they're making are being put to death for.
Right.
That's right.
I just wanted to mention that Rachel was a sweet lady and a friend, and you know I'm still ticked off about it, and not going to let the issue die.
Well, Bill, before you go on.
I'm sorry?
Well, before you go on, there's a play that was supposed to run in New York City about Rachel Corrie that got the kibosh, that has basically been censored, mm-hmm. and they won't allow it to run. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think the fact is it's going to run anyways, not in New York initially, but it does appear it's going to come out in L.A., and I shouldn't be telling you that because, I think it's going to break in L.A. I think the play will come out in L.A., and once people see and understand the fullness of it, there will be a national outrage, and I just hope and pray that her death will be justified and validated as a sacrifice. Because again, Israel and the tank commander, the bulldozer commander, who I'm sure was a tank man, who ran over her and then backed over her again to make sure they did the job right. They high-fived each other, they smoked a cigarette, and were laughing and having a joyous good old time as Rachel lied there, just a broken puppet.
I mean,
it was just horrible. It really was.
Yeah. Well, onto Iraq. I mean, it sickens me to hear that, what happened. But onto Iraq, what's going on?
Well, the fact is that despite the fact that Cheney, Rumsfeld, and what's the other guy? Oh, yeah, W, the guy who could fly with his ears. The fact is that we're in a serious world of hurt because they're telling the world that we're just simply have insurgency there. there while Alawi, the Bush puppet that he put in place, says Iraq is in the middle of a civil war.
Yep.
I don't think there's any doubt or that there's anything other than basically total truth in that, because the fact is that Alawi lives there. He's not just visiting one day or showing up on the outskirts here and there for a photo op and so forth. Alawi lives there. He says that Iraq is in the middle of a civil war, and that is exactly where it's degenerated to. You know, as we follow the progression from, the pre-war Iraq to the current Iraq, it has gone exactly how these guys have planned it. I mean, the fact is that an article broke in Capitol Hill Blue today about the FBI bosses ignored the warnings of the people. And again, this is by Greg Gordon. And again, he's another one of these guys you never hear of, you know, much like myself and you guys, because we tell the truth. We tell the truth without equivocation. And the fact is there was dozens of communications that Zacharias Moussaoui was planning a hijacking and blamed it criminal negligence on Washington bosses for blooding a chance to stop the September 11th attacks. Now, that's all well and good. And I think that, again, as we follow this story, we know from the research and work that you guys have done that there is a whole load of doo-doo involved with the quote-unquote attacks on the World Trade Center and the cover-up there. Therefore, I think that this story is simply, and I'm not blaming Capitol Hill Blue, but the warnings were there, but it didn't mean that the attacks actually took place.
Right.
And because I don't think that these guys were on the flight. I really don't think so.
Well, I think it's just nothing but a limited hangout story myself.
Yeah, no, it is. But, see, that's important because I remembered in 2003, I dug out my archives and found an article in Boston, Newsweek magazine. And the fact is, when I was looking at it, I realized that what we're dealing with here is a total contrived mechanism to divert away from what really happened.
Right.
Now, the article, and I found it online, as a matter of fact, in the archives, it was called Illegal Counterattack. Now, it was about the Sinai families hiring some of the most high-priced U.S. law firms to defend them against the trillion-dollar lawsuit that was filed on behalf of the victims of 9-1-1 by their families. Now, despite that, the plaintiff's counsel was ecstatic. And I thought that was very important because, again, after months of working in the dark, the fact is this huge U.S. legal team, which was run by Baker Botts, which is James Baker and his buddy Botts out of Houston, were the ones who were defending the Sadis. Now, it brings up the Dubai issue, because the Dubai issue may have been nothing more and nothing less. I'm tying the past into the present here. It may have been a payoff for these guys not to come out and tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's happened with that lawsuit, I don't even know. I did a search for it. Could find nothing on it. So evidently the issue was quite a contemporary issue. But because this was done with Newsweek, they didn't do away with the archives on the net. And as I was looking at it, I got thinking, oh my goodness, was the Dubai takeover of the ports a payoff of this issue in order to compensate them somewhat for what was going on? Because we all have to admit, this was one of the most stupid PR moves ever on behalf of George W. Bush.
Yeah.
That's right.
Bill, I read an article.
Well, Bush didn't know, excuse me, whether or not he knew it was still his regime that was in the loop on this.
Bill, I wanted to ask you about this article that appeared in Pravda yesterday. I don't know if you've seen it. It's called The End of Civilization. If you both would indulge me for a minute, I want to tell you a little bit about it. The author, Ian Magnuson, says that the government's been acting as if they know we have no future. They've decided to print unlimited amounts of dollars. They're doing this, what appears to be feckless spending and borrowing. Bush acts as if there is no tomorrow, financially speaking, and that sooner or later all this accumulated debt's going to have consequences. He asks the question, what if there really were no tomorrow? He says, in the case of his economic policies, it appears that all this, what appears reckless today, would not only be irrelevant, but shrewd in the future. And if one knows he doesn't have to pay back his debts tomorrow, then why not borrow money like crazy today? This author says, it appears that we're witnessing a titanic and protracted competition for survival between countries, between civilizations, between governments and their people. And he says this, we're fed this steady stream of distraction, crime, sex, religion, etc. And the one thing all these distractions have in common is collusion between government and the media, where both entities seek to dominate, exploit, and control the little people, and the little people are easily manipulated in this formulaic manner to help undermine their own welfare. Do you see us as having no tomorrow, financially speaking, and perhaps this is why these economic policies are being pursued?
Well, I think Magnuson has put it quite astutely. We don't have a future. Now, when I say we don't have a future within mainstream context, this nation is a dead issue. We are finished. And I think the reason that Bush and company are doing this, I don't think Bush is that shrewd. I think he's a moron. I think the guy is an idiot. And when I say Bush, I'm talking about Bush number one, the real president, not number two or three, who showed up, I think it was number two, who showed up in India and Pakistan making his speeches and being much more presidential than W ever could be. And we know every president has at least one double. To send him over to India and Pakistan, to send W over there, would have been basically flirting with disaster. But by sending one of his doubles over there, it raised a lot of questions. And almost everybody I know that is in the know agrees that was not George W. Bush that was on that broadcast. As a matter of fact, I think I mentioned at the 57-minute mark, there was a quick glitch, and it showed a completely different colored platform. It showed a different Bush in a different pose, and then it glitched back again. And it was at that point when I thought, oh, my goodness, they've got two broadcasts going of W the moron and W the more eloquent speaker. And again, the one they had speaking was probably have his administration 20 points higher in the polls. But that was not what happened. They broadcast to the rest of the world the real W, and we got a fake here in this country. Well, as I say that, the fact is that, you know, this is, first of all, we've got a lot of things going on. We've got the government protecting pharmaceutical industries. We've got, now, they don't have to label putting aspartame in milk and certain foods. A whole bunch of stuff going on, which pretty much spells the end of modern civilization. Now, those of us in the alternative health movement, we have options. Even myself, as sick as I am right now, I know there's things I can do that will secure myself physically and, God willing, mentally if I need it, during a very vicious attack on the people of the world. Because right now we have something else going on, and that is a complete and total fulfillment of world population reduction down to the 5% of the contemporary figures. Now, I know there's people out there saying, no, why would they do that? We've got these things going on that right now are totally ludicrous. Why would this happen? Because they have to do it. At this point, they have to do it. According to Air Force 2025, which is about a basically the government, the military in particular, controlling everything, the fact is that there was a great article that I pulled up, and it's called 2025 Statistical Analysis Boost Theory Linking Warmer Oceans to Stronger
I was going to ask you about that, Bill, but I was going to ask you about that a little later, but let's go back a second. You were saying that there were two George Bushes. Are you meaning this literally or just figuratively?
Yes. I mean it literally.
There's George Bushes?
There's at least two, perhaps even a third.
And
Clinton was accused of having multiples, and one day he'd look a bit bloated and overweight, the next day he'd be slim and looking normal. This is a regular thing. Every president has had doubles. But it's really bad when you have to present the double to the world as an eloquent speaker.
How do we know that for sure, though?
In Pakistan, and when you were not even able to use the real president of the United States to make the speech.
Well, Bill, if someone would question you on this, what would you base it upon?
Well, I would really just base it upon the speech itself. That Bush was eloquent. I'm looking at him and I'm going, yeah, you know, I disagree with him, but he was making sense. And I realized that the W that we have presented to us is the idiot that he is. I mean, is tripping over his words and saying stupid things. on the verge of throwing a temper tantrum at any given second. And I thought, oh my goodness, you know, that is not George W. Bush.
But
not
how can
only
they
myself,
keep Bill?
But I've got four friends, and we're all pretty much experts on Bush and Clinton, and they all agreed. They all called me. We all called each other about the same time. That was not Bush.
Let me ask you this. How do they keep something like that from the public?
Well, it's not hard, because the public doesn't want to know.
But there's a lot of people, you know, giving close scrutiny to this president. I mean, how would they keep something like that from the public, really?
Well, the thing is that I think the public has been numbed down greatly for a number of reasons. I think the movement of the tectonic plates that is going on, and not only, you know, and we're going through massive earth movements, which has a little bit of something to do with the mining disasters that are happening everywhere and things like that. But I think that as we deal with that, it puts out electromagnetic radiation, I think, due to the accumulation of heavy metals globally in people's foods and things like that, due to the use of fluoride, which causes that accumulation. I think it numbs us down. I really do. Yeah.
Well, Bill, since we're talking about George Bush and Iraq, everyone is saying there's a civil war in Iraq, but it seems like there's also a civil war going on right now in the White House. We reported yesterday about these shouting matches at Camp David, how they're saying it's like a bunker-like mentality, and that the White House is a study in uncontrolled chaos. You have one faction of Karl Rove, the other Andrew Card, battling against each other. If you were a fly on the wall at the White House today, what do you think you'd see?
Well, I think I'd see exactly that. And I think, you know, part of the chaos and craziness here is a multiplicity of Bushes. I think that there's two primary ones. There's a third one who goes out and might do photo ops and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line here is that these guys know that their commander-in-chief ain't commanding anything. They're giving the orders, and they're feeling the pressure of everything going on. As a result, there's infighting going on. I wouldn't be surprised to see Rumsfeld step down literally any day now.
Well,
literally any day.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I was reading the March 21st article that just appeared in the Weekly Standard, and they begin with this sentence: "It's time for President Bush to think about a third term." And then they go on to say they're not talking about an overhaul of the Constitution, which I think it's already too late for that. But
yeah,
they talk
good.
About they want Bush to replace certain faces in his administration and produce the aura of a new presidential term. And they go on to say they think Condi, Dick Cheney, and Rove need new jobs. They're calling for Cheney to resign and be replaced with Condi Rice, who would be replaced with Joe Lieberman. They want Cheney to move to the Pentagon to replace Rumsfeld. They want to replace Scott McClellan as the press secretary. They want to replace Andy Card. And they want to put somebody from the American Enterprise Institute in to replace Al Hubbard, who's the top White House economic advisor. They think this will resuscitate the Bush administration and cause the media to view the Bush administration in this whole new light, this whole new perspective. What do you think about all this?
Well, I think that is absolutely true. As a matter of fact, last night the CNN ran a special on an interview with Condoleezza Rice, in which she said she wants to become the she wants to take over the NFL. She wants to replace what's the guy's name, Paul Tagliabue.
Uh-huh.
She wants a job, and it's like, boy, that's kind of interesting. With Rumsfeld making a ton of money on the vaccinations right now, it's time for him to step out of the way. Statistically, the fact is that, again, to make money off of the government's mandatory vaccinations coming soon to our neighborhood over this bird flu. I mean, he's made $5 million by doing nothing. And if he's in the loop on this one, the vaccination are actually forced, it's going to look really bad. So they need to get him out of the way well and before this takes place. Now, I think everybody would be happier with Cheney as Secretary of Defense, because obviously Rumsfeld, you know, as smart as he is, and he is very smart, he's not presented himself as well to the world, particularly over the Iraqi issue of how many people we've lost there, the continuing death, and the one factor which nobody is calculating in, and that is depleted uranium.
Mm-hmm.
So according to the Campaign Against Depleted Uranium, CADU, we have dumped so much depleted uranium in the Persian Gulf this time around. From the first Persian Gulf War, we dumped a lot, 300 tons. This time, supposedly, we have dumped in the millions, and we have increased that factor by 153,000 to 1. I believe that was the statistical analysis of it. No, it was 53,175 to 1. I found my notes here. So it's like, and that is the plague of the 21st century. That's what no one is calculating in. It does take a little bit longer than the bird flu agenda or something like that to make people sick. But the fact is, depleted uranium will wipe out world population. I believe it will cause such a devastating effect that there will be no recovery for hundreds of years. I think our population is going to be dramatically reduced to a level that is perhaps going to rival that 5%.
Yeah. Well, I'll go on record with this administration and just say I'd like to see each and every one of them on a long bus out the back door. But, Bill, let's switch gears and go to these Alabama church fires. I'm sure everybody remembers how they went on for a couple of months, and everyone was like, when we catch these bastards, we're going to string them from the nearest tree. But then it turns out that it's three...
They did catch them,
yeah,
and that's
three,
not happening.
Yeah, and it's three Jewish kids. All of a sudden now, hang on, everything's hush-hush, we have to cover this up, and they're saying, well, this is just a prank, it's no big deal. But we have to remember, 9 churches were born... or were burned. The churchgoers in Alabama were scared to death, and they found out that there was specially designed thermite or incendiary magnesium used to do this, and over $2 million in damages. Isn't it funny how things turned when they found out?
It is sadly ironic, and you always look for a common denominator in crime. I know I'm pretty good at analyzing that stuff myself. The common denominator here is these are all Jewish kids.
Right.
Now, as a result, I want to know why the heck we have a racial grouping that was definitely very anti-Christian, very anti-American, who did not get the media. I mean, there's no media coverage.
None.
I've seen three gigs on the news on Fox, and I've seen on CNN. Nobody mentioned these are Jewish kids.
Yep.
Nobody does. Well, the fact is that Christianity, due to a modern evangelical dispensation considers itself second-class citizens to the Jew.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for instance, we have the other issue that I found out that was very interesting going on, it went to the Supreme Court again about Jonathan Pollard.
Yeah, you're
Jonathan
right.
Pollard basically is out there talking about, well, you know, he wants the court records, access to them, which normally, I would say if he hadn't sold the secrets, military secrets to Israel, who then turned around and gave them to China, just like they did all those F-16s mm-hmm. that we gave them, those were equipped, they were upgraded, and then they were sold to China.
Right.
Yeah, these are really our friends. Well, the fact is, the Pollard issue is a big issue, but why don't they allow him to have access to the court records? See, because that sets a very dangerous precedent for those of us that might need that access sometime in the future because we're getting prosecuted or persecuted ourselves. And it's like, to not allow that, I see it for reasons of spying, but it wasn't the spy issue that the fact mm-hmm. was. I don't know why, but for some reason, Pollard was expecting to get presidential clemency.
Right, right.
Hmm.
And because here he is a Jew. And don't we always bow to the Jews? Well, I'm pretty interested in another article that came out as well, too, and that was about Putin. Now, Putin is discussing the oil pipeline with China. Now, again, that was, I believe the original term for that was the Caspian Sea oil pipeline. So basically what it means, we've gone in and cleaned house and set up ourselves in Iraq and Afghanistan, soon to be probably Libya and Syria and Iran as well. And the bottom line here is that we're setting in that area of the world up for the Chinese,
that's
where the
right.
real money is going to be made, where the manufacturing is taking place, because this country is done. It is a done deal issue. There is no future in the global agenda for America outside of simply to be a place for the Chinese to relocate to. But see, Putin has been doing some interesting things. First of all, he dealt with the Rothschilds and their oil interests, their very heavy oil interests, by assuming them as state assets.
Uh-huh. Bill.
And as a yes.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. And by assuming that I'm a state asset, Basically, the U.S. is doing everybody's dirty work. We're doing it for the English, who are doing it as part of the global cartel. And to deliver Siberian oil to China's booming economy is a big issue. It is a real big issue. But we call that the Caspian Sea oil pipeline, and everybody had it wrong, including myself. I thought, oh, my goodness, you know, we're going to steal that oil. No, we didn't. We went in, we did the dirty work, and now we're assigning the assets over to
them.
Russia,
right.
Who is going to use it on behalf of China.
January 5th, Congress quietly passed legislation allowing a mere handful of lawmakers to be able to create or change laws in times of natural disaster, contagion, attack by another nation, and, of course, terrorist attack. They called it the Doomsday Legislation. You probably heard of it. And it contradicts the Constitution, which states that a majority of each chamber shall constitute a quorum to do business. Yet, in February, last month, a bill was introduced in the House by both Democrats and Republicans, and the bill has one article and one sentence only. It says, the 22nd article of amendment to the Constitution of the U.S. is rejected. Are we looking at a possible rewrite of the Constitution to let Bush serve a third term?
That is a very disturbing possibility. First of all, I believe the Constitution was done away with during the time of Abraham Lincoln. I don't believe we've had a constitution in place since then because we did away with the 13th Amendment, which was basically about the nobility clause. The nobility cannot serve. You cannot have royalty in office. But as a matter of fact, I think that's exactly what it's saying, doing away with the 22nd Amendment because it was very subtly done. Nobody talked about it. I didn't hear it on one single newscast.
No.
I've got about four here I can pick up. But I didn't hear it on a single newscast. And again, I think that Bush is president right now for one reason, to help finish off this country once and for all.
That would mean
again,
we might see Clinton
again.
He can't do
it in the remaining 2 years he has left. He will either be assassinated or he'll be replaced, or perhaps, like you're intimating right there, it may be indeed that he's going to simply appoint himself as permanent president.
Oh, what a disaster. Well, I don't even know if I can ask another question. But in the latest edition of the American Free Press, Mike Blair writes an article, and since we're talking about China, that there's a newspaper called The Epoch Times, and there's a writer named Dr. Peter Yuan, who wrote about the 9 commentaries on the Communist Party, very critical of the communist system in China. And it seems that his house was broken into, he was tied up, he was pistol whipped, he had a quilt thrown over his head, and he was hurt very badly. Also, the offices of the Epoch Times were broken into, some of their news equipment was destroyed and so forth. Bill, what are we looking at with the communist Chinese?
Well, they're in a quandary right now because they have their agenda that they've been running for quite some time. And now all of a sudden we've introduced the almighty American dollar. Soon to be the euro or petrodollar. I'm not sure which way they're going to go exactly. But the bottom line is here is that on the 20th of this month, yesterday, we're looking at, again, we have the introduction of the Islamic banking much more fully than before. And I'm kind of surprised we didn't already attack Iraq today or Iran today.
Well, actually, I think the bourse was delayed, yeah. Bill. They said it's going to be, this Iranian oil bourse, it was just announced that it's going to be delayed for a couple of months or up to a year. So that could be why we haven't already launched in Iran.
Well, I kind of thought maybe because so many of us have been talking about that for so long,
right,
that they had to set aside their policies. I don't believe they're going to hold it off that long. I think they're going to hold it a couple weeks at the most and then launch it at that time. But that's part of the agenda because, again, that disrupts and basically dissects the International Monetary Fund, which is the lifeblood of globalism.
Mm-hmm.
Bird flu, Bill. There were a group of men in Romania that attacked a wild flock of geese to keep them from entering their village. They tore their heads off. They were using them as soccer balls. There's real fear of this bird flu entering different villages. It's washing up on the shores of Europe. It's, I guess, appeared in Israel in 2 communities. And some people say that it's only like a year away from entering the United States. This article I was reading called Blame Big Chicken, the author is Wendy Orent. She talks about how commercial poultry producers are responsible for this. An Ottawa University flu virologist says that this is entirely man-made, and the corporations stand to benefit the most. Of course, we have to remember Rumsfeld and Tamiflu producers stand to benefit also. Where do you see this thing going? This bird?
Well, you know, the fact is there's a lot of speculation out there that I put credence in that talks about the fact that the bird flu is actually the resurrected Spanish flu of 1918. And we know that they have dug up bodies. We know they've dug into bone marrow and that they have actually reinvented the bird, this 1918 Spanish flu. What were they truly going to use it for? Well, I think that so far, again, the panic to get vaccinations is a big part of it. But I think it's more than that, too. I think it's much more because the fact is that they have scared, they have terrified, they have scarified the entire world out there. And that is something that seems to be universal. Every culture seems to be terrified of the possibility of the avian flu coming and landing on their shore. The only place it hasn't really landed is here in America, and yet there are diverse reports out there indicating that as many as half a dozen people may be dead in America. I don't know, but this is all scare tactics. They've got the people so scared, so terrified of the possibility and potential of things, and when you combine that up with America believing we're in the end times, it's going to happen, it really raises some serious questions as to what's going on. You know, I have a different opinion on that myself, which I'll not bring up right here. But the fact is that they've got the people terrified, and that's what they wanted, because a mob mentality group of people, the world, can be easily manipulated by being terrified.
That's right. Well, Bill, I got one more question, but before we head out today, and we're going to bring you on again next month because this has just been just fascinating. But give everybody your website address again, and then I'm sure you have a contact button and so forth there.
Sure. Okay, folks, my website is proactivenews.com. Again, it's a fledgling website. I just put it back up. It's not even one-tenth as big as it used to be. But now that I've got it up, I'll be bolstering it on a daily, on an hourly basis. My email list can be subscribed to by writing bill@proactivenews.com. And again, folks, I just hope and pray that you folks will take advantage of the sharing of information. I don't claim to always be right, but I claim to be logical and rational and reasonable.
Yeah. And the thing I like best about Bill's email alerts is not only just the links and the news stories, but his commentary that come before it. And he
and it's
gives
such a wide variety of news too.
Right, and he gives insights that certainly aren't provided by anybody else on the internet. And since we're speaking about the internet, that leads to my last question is, for years, Bill, big government or government and big business really looked upon bloggers as a nuisance. As they're just, you know, some kind of petty thing that they really didn't have to pay attention to. But lately they've realized that there's a way that they can use these bloggers, and I know a lot of them are already planted in there as news sources, but it seems like they've usurped the bloggers, and a good example would be Walmart, who recently it was discovered they were using these bloggers to spread their pro-Walmart propaganda. So what do you see happening between the government, big business, the media, and these quote-unquote independent bloggers?
Well, you know, I guess in terms of the war, we know we call those people embedded. So I guess we now deal with embedded bloggers.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
I think that people are sharp enough. Those that are really going to be paying heedance to what's going on are sharp enough to look past that. But now that everybody wants to get on the Internet, because we have no freedoms here, we have no access of avenue of access to anything in this country of any real worth, they're going to be paying greater and greater attention to the bloggers. And so I think that is a big deal issue. It's something I'm actually writing an article on right now as you talk about it. And the fact is that we've got to be real careful with who we jog and who we blog. I think that right now, again, the propaganda campaign is going on hot and heavy. You know, the issues about they're bringing up all the stuff about hate crimes on the Internet, the child porn on the Internet, and they're bringing up what are really phantom issues. I don't mean that these are not important issues, but the fact is this is all set up stuff to be able to put new restrictions and new parameters on the Internet. And as a result, I think the embedded bloggers will be the ones who primarily thrive and survive. and a lot of the rest of us, I hate to say, they're going to go the way of the dodo.
That's why we bring Bill Broombaugh on this show. Bill, well put, and his website is www.proactivenews.com. Go there, drop Bill a line, get on his email list. And Bill, I just want to thank you again for coming on the show today. We're going to have you back next month, and
Absolutely. Just
keep your eyes open, huh?
Trying to do my best.
Well, thanks, Bill. We'll be back tomorrow.
I appreciate the honor of being on.
Thanks a lot, Bill. Yeah. Have a great day.
We'll be back
All
tomorrow
right.
on Wing TV. Until then, keep your eyes open because there's a lot going on.
See you all then.